One, two, three, four work days. Twitter's ready to slide into your encrypted DMs, and businesses are about to go on a shopping spree. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023. A conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the November 22nd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
I'm good, and I think my Count Chocula imitation is better than yours. There's very few things that I can
one
up you. One, two, three, four. But you know what I can't do? The SpongeBob SquarePants. I can't get to it. I practice that. I'm just going to call it. I'm just going to say it out loud publicly because this is never going to be seen by anyone because it's not on the internet. It just kind of evaporates into the ether.
Yeah, nobody watches this stuff. Yeah.
No, not at all. It'll never come back. I tried so many times to sing that SpongeBob SquarePants song, the pineapple. You got to do it. Just
who lives in a pineapple under the sea? SpongeBob. Okay, yeah. This is why our peers have very, very interesting things to say.
We ended the last episode with me saying that you are my favorite 12-year-old adult. I think you are my favorite 11-year-old adult as well.
Yes.
That's a lot. Yes.
That's a win. Hey, like the closer we can get to daily nap times, I'm so in. So, Tony, we have some amazing things coming up this week. In 2 days, it will be Turkey Day. But you know what today is?
Do tell me.
Today is November 22nd is my daughter's birthday. So happy birthday to Marissa Rossini. She's not here. She flew out to London for Thanksgiving week. So she's enjoying London. But happy birthday, Marissa, when you watch this.
Happy birthday, Marissa.
But, you know, we got in 2 days, we have the big Turkey Day coming up. And so I could ask you, what are your plans and what are you guys cooking and blah, blah. That's mundane. That's not how we do this on this show. What I'm going to ask is the real hard-hitting question, the thought-provoking question. If Thanksgiving is such a great holiday, why do we only do turkey once a year?
Well, allow me to retort. I do not. I actually do it in the middle of summer, just kind of that, hey, reminder, it's pretty awesome. But that's, yeah, I it would be nice to have it more than once a year.
See, we're Latino though. Like I'm more interested. Well, first of all, Thanksgiving, break out that honey baked ham, baby. I am so in. And then we're Latino. So like we do the caja china for Christmas. And to the other 98% of the country watching this is like, what's a caja china? It's a Chinese box because that makes it more clear. No, it's this, first of all, go Google. I'll get Simon and Phil to like Google caja china and put a link in the show notes. But basically it's a barbecue smoker wooden box where you put a full pig on there and you cook it for hours and hours and hours, comes out absolutely amazing. And the lechon that comes out, oh my God, it is fantastic. Yeah, Simon's telling me, you're a Cuban, a dolphin. So yes, I'm Cuban Italian for those of you that don't know. But you know, I love that. I love the pig. I love the puerco for Christmas. And if we could do that for Thanksgiving, I'm totally down for that too.
Oh,
you know what else
that.
I'm down for?
Do tell.
News.
Well, let's get into some news.
In our first top story of business, 4 day work weeks, better for everyone. Written by Owen Hughes for ZDNet.com. Thanks to academic research and success stories from countries like Iceland, Japan, and New Zealand, many companies around the world are starting to adopt the four-day work week. In June, 3,300 employers in the UK tried the four-day work week, led by Four Day Week Global, for 6 months. The trial aims to see whether or not the four-day work week model positively affects the productivity, well-being, and work-life balance. During the trial, employees receive 100% pay for 80% of their usual hours in exchange for a commitment to maintaining 100% productivity. 3 months through, 88% of respondents said the model was working well for the business. 46% said the productivity had maintained around the same level. 34% said it improved slightly. 15% responded productivity had improved significantly. The idea of employees achieving the same amount of work in less time may seem counterintuitive, but it may be the key to solving workers' terrible work-life balance and boosting productivity. Tony, 80% of the work for 100% of the pay? It doesn't sound like 80% of the work, though, right?
You know what? I think it was an Anchorman, you know, 48% of the time, it works 92% of the time or something like that. I'm of the true belief that this is going to be based on the situation. And the company, the core competency, there's that, you know, that famous question that every single person has been asked or will ask during an interview is, you know, what's your management style? And if you answer anything, and I mean anything other than, well, it depends on the situation and the person, you're wrong because they're looking for something. And, yeah. And this is the exact same scenario where it really depends on the business. Can working 80% of the time or, you know, 4 day work week work with, I don't know, national security? Probably not. Ray, 4 day work week for everyone, in, I don't know, VoIP services. There's certain components, like it makes you cringe. You're like, now there's certain components of your organization that can do that. But does that apply to absolutely everyone across the board? I do not believe that's the case. I could be wrong though, Ray. Give me your spin.
I'm going to start this with, I love you, Tony. So you know how when you say, oh, my 3D printer, and then I pull out and hold the 3D printer?
Yes.
I've been doing 4 day work weeks for over almost a year. Back when I worked at the Miami Police Department, we had 4 day weeks. Now it was not 80% of the work. It was 4 days, 10-hour shifts. But you got 40 hours, right? So we did that. And when I, about a year and change ago, maybe over a year ago at this point, I realized I had Saturday, Sunday, but Saturday, Sunday is like vacation, right? When you come back from vacation, you're exhausted because you got to take care of all the stuff you didn't do while you were gone. And so like you come back to work more exhausted than when you left. Well, I realized that was happening Saturday, Sunday. You got the honeydew list, you got the family time, you got the all the errands you didn't take care of during the week. And I said, you know what? Let me do 4 day work weeks. And I did. And I work long hours anyway. It's not that big of a difference to me. It's just one extra day to play Call of Duty. And so I've been doing 4 day work weeks for over a year.
You just said Call of Duty. You've been doing Call of Duty for
I've been doing Call of Duty for over a year. Explains my level. No. But besides that, then I went back to my teams and discussed it with my teams. I started with tech and I said, look, would you be interested in 4 day weeks? And I'm completely optional. I'm not going to mess with anybody's schedule. They don't want to. Before that, we were traditional. We already had shifts because we were open till 6 or 7 PM, something like that. Started 8:30 in the morning. So we had to have shifts anyway to accomplish nationwide coverage. And unanimously, they were like, let's do this. So we had to work out scheduling, you know, but we have Monday through Thursday and Tuesday through Friday. And then I open it up to other people in the organization. And we have finance, admin, HR, compliance, porting, tech, even our marketing departments. Some people working 4 day weeks and they love it. They absolutely love it. And so, you know, it's not for everybody. I have people in those same teams that don't want to. And thankfully, we're in a position where we can say, okay, well, we can split that out where some do and some don't. And there's some challenges, of course. But they are so much happier, especially like last week where, you know, Veterans Day was on Friday. So, you know, you have people with an even longer weekend or when it's on a Monday, you know, for those people that are off Mondays or those people when the holiday's on a Monday. So you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. It's pretty badass. Next week I'm on vacation, but next week Thanksgiving's off. I'm already off Friday. Then Saturday, Sunday, you know, don't come back to work till Monday. It's a beautiful thing, man. It can work. If you're creative enough.
I love that. I love that you, the one thing that really stood out to me is that you took a moment to do it yourself. saying this is satisfactory. This is, I'm going to now open this up to a little bit of the organization at a time. And then you actually led into, well, they kind of worked it out. There's going to be situations where some people don't want it and we let them work it out. And there's some hurdles to jump through. That's amazing. And that's exactly the way it should be. Mandating across the board, I don't think it'll go well. I do, however, think it is a very effective move if it's thought out. And that's exactly what needs to happen.
And let me tell you, as a hiring tool, putting that right on the job postings, people love it. When you say we already do 4-day work weeks in this climate where people are trying to accomplish better work-life balance, they absolutely love a company that's already dedicated that. So MSPs, are you doing four-day work weeks? Do you think we're 4-day crazy? Let us know. Put it in the comments. Tell us we're right, wrong. Otherwise, we want to hear from you. But for now, Tony, I'm going to go ahead and be sliding into your DMs for your next story.
Hey, as long as they're encrypted, man, that's all I care about. And that's exactly what's happening. Bleepingcomputer.com, Twitter, source code indicates end-to-end encryption. DMs are coming. In a story by Bill Tulis, Twitter is reportedly working on finally adding end-to-end encryption, E2EE, for direct messages exchanged between users on the social media platform. This is a sought-after and massively requested feature that will help protect private communications from anyone sitting between conversation parties or even legal requests. Twitter has attempted to prototype E2EE back in 2018, naming it, quote, secret conversation, but it never materialized, and it never had a finished product that was later abandoned. End-to-end encryption ensures that messages leave the sender in an encrypted form and are decrypted on the recipient end to allow reading the message. If Twitter introduces E2EE on DMs, users will feel more comfortable about the security and privacy of their communication, even under unfortunate circumstances like platform-impacting hacks. A conversation key is a critical component in that structure. And Ray, let's talk about this for just a moment. I feel like this is indicative of a lot of things out there, but frankly, our conversations weren't encrypted.
So I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were on WhatsApp and it was like, oops. No. And I love to see this because just like we were talking in last episode, Phil, wherever you're going to put that up, where we're talking about Google getting slapped with a ridiculous amount for not honoring privacy restraints. I'd love to see this. So many communications happen on Instagram, Twitter, business communications. Absolutely ridiculous. I was booking a service. Now, of course, Simon and the younger generation are going to laugh at me for saying this. But I needed to book a service. I went to the website, looked at the chat, started typing. They said, we'll get back to you. And it was one of those, we'll get back to you in like 48 hours. It was obvious it was not their main form of communication. And of course, the phone guy, I'm not going to pick up the phone and call him. And they're like, go check out our Instagram. And the company's Instagram said, DM us to set appointments on Instagram, right? So, and Twitter's not the first to do this. Signal, Telegram, WhatsApp, Threema. There's tons of encrypted messaging apps out there. But the point is this. Business communications, private communications, personal communications are taking place on these platforms. So if that's the case, we need to have encryption mechanisms. We need to ensure the privacy. And it needs to be privacy that the company itself cannot get to. Apple cannot be the only one saying we're doing this and we're protecting the public. The rest of the companies need to do this too. So I'm happy to see this in the source code. I'm hoping whatever engineers did this don't get fired by next week with you know, Elon's tirade on work harder, not smarter.
I need to stop you. You're being entirely too rational for the show. I'm done listening to you thinking that, oh, business is done on these social media platforms. How dare you say that? Because that never happens. And how dare you say it should be encrypted? Why should they be encrypted? That should never be. I'm being facetious, everyone, I want to point out that there are so many ways to spoof the man in the middle attack and attract that information. And we're talking about in the previous episode, we just got done talking about P leaking. That's PII. Oh, my favorite 11-year-old adult. Private information being leaked from AWS. And this is one of those ways, because if you're making an appointment for anything, and I mean anything, guess what's happening? Your data is being leaked, which allows social engineering, which allows private information to eventually be consumed or in some way, shape, authentication to be compromised. Of course, what is that authentication for? Who knows? But you know what they can do? They can compromise it if they have your location, if they have your personal information, if they have some appointment, if they have something that is known to you that was hacked through a man in the middle attack because the communication between you and X was not encrypted. And it makes me furious to think I just assumed that this was all encrypted. And now, hey, congratulations, everyone. It's only 8 years later. We're finally implementing encryption. What's been happening this entire time? That's what I'd like to know.
And it makes absolute sense, because it is that, like we were talking about in that Google story, so many assume it's being done. So many assume it was obvious to me. Now, I would not release the kind of information this gentleman wanted. We did ultimately set the appointment over DM on Instagram. But I can see Simon's eyes rolling back in his head while listening to this. Now, there was some information he wanted where I was absolutely not going to send via DM. Not going to happen. But we were able to get the job done. But I can tell just by these conversations, the businesses don't understand what they're asking for, because to them, it's just a communications mechanism. This medium has to be protected. It's obvious. They don't realize they're talking on the phone and how easily phones are to tap, right? Like, well, back in the day, VoIP are a little bit more complicated, slightly, but they're not realizing how hard it is. And so, you know, it's companies need to do better. I'm glad to see Twitter doing this. That's the best I could say.
Me too. It is a great thing that they're spending the money to implement something like that. There's a lot of places that money can be spent. Ray.
Our third top story, where businesses will spend money, written by Mark Samuels on ZDNet.com. Nash Squared's Digital Leadership Report, an annual survey of 1,800 digital executives, showed 52% of digital leaders expect their technology budget to rise in the next year, despite 87% of the responders expecting an economic downturn. The survey also shows that interest in the cloud is still a priority, and according to Bev White, CEO of Nash Squared, it's because cloud computing is still a growing and evolving market. Furthermore, 63% of digital leaders report a large-scale use of the cloud, and 50% expect it to deliver a competitive advantage in the next year. 64% of the survey participants responded that big data and analytics will be in the top two technologies to deliver a competitive advantage during the next year. However, only 21% of the digital leaders feel that their businesses are effective at using data insights to generate revenue. Tony, the sky is falling into our wallets. I don't like, I don't mean to be Chicken Little this article, but you know, yeah, people are spending money on cloud. This doesn't seem surprising to me. It's one of those things, like, it needs to be said so MSPs know where they need to shore up their knowledge and their skills, and how they need to market effectively to get to the businesses and know what the businesses care about. So I'm glad it's being said. It's just further data to support it. But at the end of the day, this isn't new. Cloud is good, right? Like, you built whole businesses on the cloud. Cloud is good, right?
There's a lot to be impacted here. Let's look at the story we did in the last episode, where you came up with an amazing list of layoffs that were occurring, and job layoffs everywhere. Technology industry layoffs. Netflix. Netflix is not a, they use technology. You know, Uber uses technology. I mean, everybody uses technology. These are not technology companies. These are companies that are doing layoffs in a variety of industries. And some of those layoffs are extreme, but when you, you know, coagulate them and put them into an aggregated, you know, tech sector, layoff scenario, tech center is falling. The tech industry is falling. It's across the board. Now, when you're looking at the completely inverted message, spending is going to be off the chart. What way is gravity if the sky is falling? Because I'm hearing the sky is falling, going up. But over here from your article last week, the sky is falling and it's going this way. So I don't know what to say. It's important that we bring everyone this news because they understand that there's a lot of moving parts. And if you don't understand the moving parts and you're just making a decision off of something you hear right now, you're probably going to make the bad decision. Eventually, you start to see a pattern. You start to see a cadence occurring. And it's critical that everyone looks at this in big picture scenario and understands what are those operational underpinnings? What are the components that are siloed into such a specific, we can put our finger on a real issue here, or we can indicate that there's an issue that is spread across multiple industries. It may be widespread, but it's not traveling that deep. Or we can say, this is a real issue across the board that has now become systemic and a true concern of ours that we should be bracing across the industries, plural. So I have a lot of feedback on this, but the reality is I see everything you said as a very positive thing. I'm excited to hear about growth, 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 cloud, cloud, cloud. I think we already knew that. But what's the next step? What's after that?
Yeah, and that's what I want to see from the MSPs, right? I want them to learn to consult. I want them to learn how to architect these solutions. I want them to learn when Azure or GCS or AWS or the smaller private clouds, right? You know, the Linode, the Rackspaces, the DigitalOceans, and so on and so forth, when they're the appropriate solution, because it goes back to your management discussion. If your answer is anything other than I need to know the person, need to play it by ear based on the person, well, unless you're saying I need to pick the cloud solution based on the client's needs, you're going to run into a hard time. You're not going to meet those efficiency gains they're looking for. You're not going to meet those productivity and that ROI they're looking for. So you need to learn this stuff. And every one of these providers provides free training. Every single one of them. I bet most MSPs didn't know AWS has an MSP network. They have an MSP program, which is like, every, you know, MSPs, they go to Azure because Microsoft, and Azure has its own challenges when you're selling it and pricing it and planning it out. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying you have options, and AWS is not as difficult to work with as you might think. So go check these things out. And if you're already doing this, and actually I know at least one of our listeners, Disc Josh, he's a cloud dude. He knows his cloud. So I'd love to hear his feedback. Maybe we'll get him on from the MSP side and hear his feedback. But if you're an MSP doing this or looking to do this, or you have questions on how to do this, join our Discord or hit us up in the comments. We want to talk about it. But Tony, for now, let's get into some notables, man.
In my first notable mention, straight from bleepingcomputer.com, Google is going to roll out a privacy sandbox on Android 13 starting in early 2023. Google announced today that they'll begin rolling out the privacy sandbox system on a limited number of Android 13 devices in early 2023. The privacy sandbox for Android is a set of technologies that Google introduced in February this year, aiming to limit the tracking of users while still providing advertisers with a viable performance measurement option. Privacy Sandbox for Android replaces cross-app identifiers and covert tracking with API systems like attribution reporting, topics, and Fledge. All these APIs combined replacing advertising IDs that have been used on Androids for many years and can also be used for tracking users.
In our second notable mention, Microsoft fixes Windows 10 freezes, written by Sergio Gatlan on Bleeping Computer. Microsoft has resolved a known issue causing errors and making the taskbar and desktop disappear on Windows 10. The company also linked the same issue to instances where the user's device would become unresponsive. Microsoft also pushed a fix for the issue via KIR, known issue rollback, Windows servicing feature to revert buggy non-security fixes rolled out during the Windows update. KIR usually takes up to 24 hours to propagate to all affected devices, but to speed up the rollout, Microsoft advises affected users to restart their systems. For enterprise-managed devices, IT admins will have to install and configure a special GPO, or group policy, to resolve the issue.
In our community events, tomorrow, on November 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. Also on the 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Partner First, Managed Compliance Selling, VoIP has never been easier. On the 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch Thanksgiving Special presented by the MSP Media Network. And finally on the 25th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's episode and its bloopers? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and end it twice. Actually, three times, so it does the like thing again. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week long? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we slid into your encrypted DMs. We rolled out some sandboxes. We got Turkey Day coming. We even celebrated a birthday. I mean, this has been a rock star of an episode, man.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. Turkey.
And don't forget to go check out that Cajachina in the show notes below.
Oh, I want to try that.
There you go. All right. Till next time, brother. Have an awesome Thanksgiving, my brother. Have an awesome Thanksgiving, our MSP Dispatch family. And we'll have something special for you on Friday. Till then, take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
In June 3rd, 300 employees in the UK tried the four-day... Oh, employers. That makes a lot more difference. Oh, it's not June 3rd. It's 3,300.
Did you say a lot more difference?
So yeah, it makes a lot more difference. It's like when you do something again, you do it one more again. Yeah, exactly.
A lot more difference.
Yeah, I'm a well-educated thug. Don't give me... Yeah.
Words.
Words. All right. My vernacular is dope as fuck, bro. So, all right. So many dolphins. All right. 15% responded productivity had removed.
Me too.
You're going to lead into the next story.
Oh, am I leading into it? Okay. Yeah, yes. Hold on.
In our third top story, in the business realm, where businesses will spend money. Written by somebody on something. Hold on. In our third top story, where businesses will spend money. Written by Mark Samuels on ZDNet.com. Nash Squared's digital leadership report.
Privacy sandbox for Android replaces cross-app identifiers and covert tracking with API systems like Attribute. I knew this is a lot of pronunciation. Okay.